Good morning and welcome to Monday morning, April the 1st in 2024 on When I Arise. Today we begin Year B, the second Sunday of Easter, and on the Monday of the week, we typically read an Old Testament passage from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary. But in the season of Easter, they replaced these Old Testament passages with passages from the New Testament book of Acts. So today we're going to be in Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. The company of those who believed had one heart and soul. Nobody said that they owned their property. Instead, they had everything in common. The apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus with great power, and great grace was upon all of them. For there was no needy person among them, since any who possessed lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sale, and placed it at the feet of the apostles, who then gave to each according to their need. This is the word of God for us. Okay, so here we are in the book of Acts, and you'll notice something as you read through the book of Acts that there is like some very specific stories, and then there's a zooming out of some general summary stories. It's a similar format that Luke uses in his gospel. And so here we have, a couple of episodes into the first season of the Church of Jesus Christ, the Followers of the Way. And so there's been some specific stories kind of centered around the temple at this point. This is, after the day of Pentecost, and then there's this big episode in the temple where John and Peter heal a man, and there's a great ruckus because of it, and they're warned and threatened not to preach about Jesus and things that they claim happened to him. And then people are being scooped in and added, right? And we'll see this as a bit of a pattern for the first half of the book of Acts. Peter is a central figure in the book of Acts, and the church begins to build around the area of Jerusalem and Judea. And then in Acts 8, it begins to go out into other territories when persecution really afflicts the church in the city of Jerusalem and the vicinity around that city. But we have this great expression of the body of Christ here. I'm actually recording this on Easter Sunday, and I marvel at how many billions of people celebrate Jesus and his resurrection today. Now, not all the church claims that we just had Easter. There's parts of the church that will celebrate Easter a few weeks from now. But nevertheless, like, there's this sense where like there's these moments throughout the year where we all have the same confession together. And at the same time, like, we are quite diverse, right? I mean, we have different conclusions about doctrine and practices throughout the global body of Christ, but we have this unity in these different moments throughout the church's calendar year. And one of the things I marvel at is not that Jesus was raised from the dead. I marvel at that, not just that alone. Definitely marvel at the miracle of the resurrection. I marvel even still about how many people are unified in his name. People who are rich or poor from different parts of the world, people with different political persuasions and different ways in which our culture divides itself, how we find the same place to stand together. And in the early parts of the book of Acts, this is a vivid picture of unity where they would commonly sell stuff. They would sell extra houses. They would sell extra plots of land, and they would give the dividend from that sale to the apostles so that all people's needs would be met. I think what you'll see in Luke's gospel and the book of Acts, which we believe has a common author, is that there is, like, page after page, this awareness of the poor and wanting to feed the poor and want to take care of the poor. I heard a stat once. It came from a book that Scott McKnight wrote. He says that on average, one out of every four lines or verses from the Bible gives us instruction or an inspiration to take care of the poor, the needy, the widow, those on the margins of society, right? But it picks up steam in Luke and Acts. This author seems to have this great awareness of the poor around the community of believers, and this admonition to feed the poor, where it goes from every four lines to like now, like, you know, very, a more frequent mention than that. It's almost like twice as many times in Luke and Acts. There's this story about the poor being fed, or the destitute, or the lame, they're cared for. And so you get these vivid pictures in the testimony of the early church, where they really try to take care of the needs of others. So we begin to ask questions, right? Because this is like beginning to make some of our skins crawl. Not that we shouldn't feed the poor, but there's some, like, our social and political ideology would say, yeah, but you can't like feed everybody. I mean, you can't, you know, spend all the money that we collect together in order to lift every need that we have out there. We've got to be reasonable and sensible and logical about social uplift and social safety nets. And I think some of those perspectives have been inspired by people who've been Christians over the years. And so even in American culture now, like, there's this raging debate about what social projects and programs should we fund and which ones should we let go by the wayside, and different perspectives on that. And so I think even the church, we have some different comment, and they have some different sources where they begin to like weigh, like, how do we help take care of the poor? And I think what we have is this great trial and error process. And what is constant, though, is that people do say a part of Christian piety is to take care of the needy, that we should not hoard our resources for ourselves, but if we have extra, we should help others. And I think it's just important to know that, and I think Christians have commented on this, that's enough, which is what the experience of all people in the church in Acts chapter 4 is, not the same as equal. I think sometimes we talk about giving to the needy, like some folks say, oh, this sounds like socialism. And okay, like, I'm just going to put all that conversation to the side, because I don't know if there's just a great ending point where we can kind of agree to disagree on that topic. What we can say is that Christians have tried to persuade one another to make sure there's enough for people around them, okay? So this trial and error process, this conversation, the study, this praying, and this action, they all seem to kind of come to a conclusion. There's a discipleship manual in the first, you know, couple centuries of the church called the Didache, which is just a Greek word for the teaching. And the teaching has these twin lines about giving to the poor. It'd say you need to give without holding a grudge, right? So when we do give, we give cheerfully, as the scripture encourages to do so. And we don't give out of like a, well, I'm going to like scratch your back, maybe down the road you'll scratch mine. But once a gift is given, the church has always taught that you need to trust it in God's hands, right? And the Psalms even say this, that when we give to the poor, we lend to the Lord. What a vivid picture that comes from the Old Testament there. So the Didache says, when you give, don't give without a grudge. Then the Didache also says to allow your alms to sweat in your palms before you give. So really investigate, really consider it, you know, really think about it, discuss it with people who are involved, be transparent as you give. So there's this paradox here. Yes, scrutinize over your gifts. Once it's given, give joyfully and then entrust it into God's care. I was meditating on a quote that Martin Luther had, where he said, pray and let God worry. And I think that we could put other things in that same formula. How about we give and let God worry? If God gives us the admonition to care for the poor, to care for those on the margins of society, then we're going to give. And we allow God to worry about how those gifts are used and whether it was a wise investment or not, because we can do our research, but we can't figure it all out, right? We, at some point, we got to decide, am I going to give or am I not going to give? Can I discern yes or no? Should I give to this endeavor? So we got this vivid picture from this resurrection people in Acts chapter 4. They decided it was the best expression of their faith to take care of the needs of others, even to where they would sell their excess stuff in order for that to be given to the church. And so may we keep in step with our Lord. May we keep in step with those who followed him from the earliest of days. May we be eager to help lift the plight of the poor so that many people's lives can be restored and God's name can be praised because of it. So those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that, as the good old hymn says, that Jesus, you cared for our low estate and you forgave our sins, and you brought us into your family. And so we thank you that we're not only those who can benefit and receive from this great mercy, but now we're conduits of that great mercy to the ends of the earth. And we thank you that this is a development in our lives as we grow closer to you, that we have a plight for the poor, that we want to stand on their side, and we want to lift them in certain ways that you call the church to do so. God, we confess to you that this is a challenging endeavor because we don't want to be irresponsible with what you've given us, but we also know there are profound needs around us. And so in the midst of being very careful and being very cheerful in our giving, we simply pray that you give us grace and wisdom. So we pray that you would activate your church, the body of Christ, to be good news, and that we reach out and help lift those who need help today. Jesus, we're reminded of the Beatitude, which says that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. So as we look for the poor and the poor in spirit around us, give us a great desire to lift their needs. Give us the great ingenuity to figure out ways for great social uplift. We pray this would be all to the honor and glory of your name. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.